Springfield's Talk 1041. Good morning. I'm Nick Reed. There is a bit of a public battle going on between Donald Trump and MSNBC. It's not anything new necessarily, but he has waded into, interestingly enough, an area that has for a long time been a point of contention that people on the left have had with Joe Scarborough at MSNBC, and that is the death of an intern that occurred in his office when he was a member of Congress, and he would leave office within a couple of months around there, citing, you know, more time with the family. And she was a young, healthy marathon runner and all this stuff. She was found dead in his Florida office, and then the medical examiner said, oh, her heart just gave out, and she fell and hit her head on the desk, and that's what did it. Okay, and so that was the end of it, and so forth. Well, there have been theories pushed by outlets like Daily Kos and other left-wing organizations that the whole thing smelled fishy, it was weird, and it was corporate media covering up for Republicans. Well, Trump has begun sort of poking at some of this, and it's got MSNBC and others up in arms. I want to talk a little bit about it here in this next upcoming hour. We've got Don Luzader now with news.
And good morning. A man from Springfield is in jail on suspicion of first-degree murder in the death of a woman from Marionville. The Lawrence County Sheriff says deputies were called to a home off of Highway 14 north of Marionville Monday afternoon, where the victim's body was found. Authorities arrested the woman's boyfriend. No names have been released. Missouri's health director issuing a dire warning after photos and videos showed Memorial Day weekend revelers partying close together at Lake of the Ozarks. He says the coronavirus, this is Dr. Randall Williams, the coronavirus is still here, and he says the spreading of illnesses could have long-lasting and tragic results. That video showed people lounging and playing close together without masks there at the lake. The lake draws people from as far away as Arkansas and Iowa, and is especially popular with travelers from St. Louis City and County, which combine for more than half of Missouri's confirmed cases of COVID-19. Many branches of the Springfield Greene County Library District will be reopening this morning at 8:30. The only exceptions will be the Park Central and Fair Grove branches, but those will have walk-up services. The library will also have a two-hour visit rule and will maintain social distancing. Masks are requested but not required. All in-person programs are canceled until August 31st. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, a flood advisory west of Springfield until noon today. 50% chance of returning showers with a high of 74. Tonight, cloudy. More showers, low of 62. Showers, afternoon thunderstorms, 74, and Thursday a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 75 at 66. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, helping you sell your home, helping you find a home. She does it very well. She is an advocate for you. You watch some of these reality TV shows and these people, they call up, they have personal assistance for this and that. You think, well, that must be nice. You got to be super wealthy and rich. No, you don't. When it comes to buying or selling a home, Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate becomes that advocate, that personal assistant for you from the very beginning until the end, and everything in between. You don't get passed on to other people. If you want somebody who you're going to be able to pick up, talk directly to on their cell phone when you have a question at 7 o'clock at night or on a Saturday morning and you have concerns or worries about certain things, she is going to be the one there for you, taking care of you. It's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Her number is 890-1455, and you can also find and like her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Joe Scarborough, of course, MSNBC. Morning Joe. He has turned into a hysterical morning show host. Much of his hysteria is oftentimes aimed at Trump. And he really is pretty big into a number of conspiracy theories as well. Some of the things that he'll out loud speculate, it just shows that he's lost touch with reality. Well, once upon a time, he was considered one of the more conservative Republican members of Congress out of Florida. I believe he came in with the 104th Congress Contract with America, that Newt Gingrich-led revolution. I believe that that's when he came in. He served a number of terms. He had an intern who was relatively young, healthy, married, one day found dead in his office. According to a medical examiner, her heart just, just stopped on her. She had some sort of issue, caused her to pass out. She hit her head on a table on the way down, and it killed her. That was the end of her. Now, this was during a period of time where you had the Chandra Levy, Gary Condit situation going on. For those of you that don't remember this, Chandra Levy was an intern for a Democrat from California, Gary Condit, and her body was found. Was it Central Park? It was in some park. She was murdered, and it would turn out she was having an affair with Gary Condit, and it was a huge story because there was a lot of speculation as to whether or not Gary Condit murdered her or had her murdered. What would eventually happen was September 11th, 2001, and then Gary Condit, nobody was talking about Gary Condit anymore. There were a number of people on the left, some of which worked at the Liberal Daily Kos, who felt as if Joe Scarborough was getting away with murdering because he was a conservative Republican. Because, as you know, the media is always very, very kind to Republicans. And Gary Condit was suffering all of this unfair coverage, all of this speculation, all of this heat for something. But Joe Scarborough, I mean, he has an intern. She's found dead in his office, not in a park somewhere, but in his office, perfectly healthy. And it's, oh, they just believe the medical examiner that, oh, yep, just one of those things. Heart stopped, hit her head, and that was the end of it. Trump recently has referenced the fact that, and this is one of the things that he does, you know, everyone's talking about whenever he wants people to start talking about something, he'll tweet out, you know, people are talking about. And so he had tweeted out a lot of, this was several weeks ago, a lot of interest in this story about Psycho Joe Scarborough. So a young marathon runner just happened to faint in his office, hit her head on the desk and die. I would think there's a lot more to this story than that. An affair? Question mark. What about the so-called investigator? Question mark. Mika Brzezinski, which has become Joe Scarborough's wife and a co-host of Morning Joe, she's gone apoplectic over this. She's demanding Twitter ban Donald Trump, and it's all based on this idea that Donald Trump is peddling conspiracy theories. And I can't believe that Twitter or any outlet, there's got clearly something wrong with the president of the United States is putting out all this unfounded speculation and all these conspiracy theories. The Washington Post has a story. Florida family grieves as Trump spreads debunked conspiracy theory to attack MSNBC hosts. We're talking about the dead intern's family. Now, I happen to see the point that Trump is making here. And that's why I wanted to share it with you. We're going to get Parker Padgett with the latest traffic update first. I am Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski over at MSNBC, co-host and married couple of Morning Joe, are livid at President Trump because he is bringing up theories that have been long pushed by the left, people who are the lion's share of viewers at MSNBC, that Joe Scarborough may have murdered a gal who once worked for him back in 2001 at a Florida office. Healthy young gal died. Medical examiner said, she had a funny heart. She passed out, hit her head on the table, and that's what killed her. And there were a number of different reasons that fueled speculation that something funny was going on. It took a while for the medical examiner to make the determination. And then he later, sort of a side scandal, would be, he had these storage units that he owed back rent on. And so the owner of the storage unit basically just opened her up to clear it out and found all these body parts and all this sort of jazz that he had been keeping, brains and just weird stuff. Well, he would be allowed to go through some programs, so they dropped the charges against him. So you have all sorts of conspiracies here. You know, like the medical examiner clears Joe. He gets off on all this sort of stuff. And you can understand how some people could easily from that go, well, what about this and what about that? This is something that is long. Michael Moore has talked. Michael Moore actually had registered the domain name Joe Scarborough killed as intern.com years ago. So this isn't anything new. Well, Trump has brought it up in tweets. Like, you know, a lot of people are talking about this. Here's what President Donald Trump is doing. President Donald Trump is giving back to Joe Scarborough and MSNBC exactly what they spend hour after hour after hour every day doing to him. And that is taking rumor, innuendo, information that oftentimes turns out to be false, and openly speculating all sorts of conspiracy theories about President Donald Trump. It is somewhat entertaining to watch these two people in particular, but a network as a whole, just outraged that how can this man possibly be allowed to speculate on such things that clearly aren't true from a network that has spent years convincing us the president of the United States conspired with Vladimir Putin in order to rig the presidential election. They have spent years on this. And we, of course, now know none of it was true. We know even the people that Joe Scarborough would have on his show claiming that they had all of this information, that eventually it would come out. But then, and we know this because of the transcripts that were released by the Director of National Intelligence, that some of those very same people behind closed doors, thinking their testimony would never come to light, were admitting that they had no such information. So what we've learned here is that the past several years, MSNBC has been an outlet that has falsely accused the president of the United States of, among other things, conspiring with Russia. I mean, and we could go down the list of things they've accused him of, everything from Stormy Daniels to, I mean, just, you could go on and on and on and on and on. But the big one that has been probably the most impacting, because there's still a portion of the American population out there who will believe that it's true because of people like Joe Scarborough, and that is a conspiracy between Russia and Donald Trump. So Donald Trump here, just through tweets, just giving it right back to him. Like, oh, you want to openly speculate about wild conspiracy theories? Well, here's something people have talked about. And by the way, Trump isn't making that up. People have been talking about it for years. And the uncomfortable part for Democrats is Democrats are the ones who have been doing it. And this was before they began to really love Joe Scarborough, of course. He has become a real darling because he is a Republican who has seen the errors of his way, and he has come to trash Donald Trump at every step of the way that he possibly can. So now they like him. But before that, they were buying domain names indicating that he murdered. One of them was one of the contributors to Daily Kos was eventually banned from MSNBC because he was so consistent in asserting that something funny was going on with the death of this gal who worked for Joe. Point being, Donald Trump's assertion that this is something that people have been talking about is absolutely true. Absolutely 100% true. That doesn't mean what they are asserting is true. In fact, what Donald Trump has tweeted out about the death of this gal who worked for Scarborough, if you look at it, it has been more accurate than the allegations made against Trump by the folks at MSNBC. And that is Trump claiming that this is something that people have been talking about, because that is true. it shows you how little self-awareness these people have. That, among other things, Mika Brzezinski could be publicly calling on Twitter to ban the president because he is saying things that are not true. And he is putting out conspiracy theories and information that have been proven to be not true. Well, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. You've been doing that for 3 years. Provably. It's not theory. It's not speculation. I don't think, though, for one moment, they have enough ability to do any sort of self-reflection to recognize that whether this is his intent or not, I think that it at least to some degree is, to highlight their hypocrisy by baiting them into criticizing him for spreading conspiracy theories that are clearly not true, when that has been their bread and butter since Trump got elected. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. The Washington Post most recently had a story on Trump just causing all sorts of grief for the family of the gal who died in Joe Scarborough's office back in 01. Joe Scarborough, he's a contributor to Washington Post. And they reference Trump spreading debunked conspiracy theory. I've noticed a very loose usage of the term conspiracy and or conspiracy theory. And what has happened here is it is automatically used to describe something that you are not supposed to believe. That's what now in the media, when they talk about conspiracy theory or Democrats talk about conspiracy theory, that means whatever the assertion is, whatever the subject matter is, only crazy people believe it. Regarding the belief that many on the left and in the Democrat Party have had for years that someone may have killed the gal who was found dead in Joe Scarborough's office isn't necessarily a conspiracy. I don't know that anyone is specifically alleging that there was a conspiracy against her or conspirators who killed her. If there was just some random person or a custodian or some other individual that for whatever reason killed her, and left, that's not a conspiracy. Or if Joe Scarborough, as some on the left, including Michael Moore, have suggested killed her, that's not a conspiracy for someone to kill someone, whatever the reason be. Now, you could have a conspiracy to cover it up. It's just, it's a little pet peeve of mine that even when the subject matter that is being described isn't in and of itself a conspiracy or allegations of a conspiracy necessarily, it's referenced as a conspiracy theory because that has negative connotation, and that just means you'd have to be crazy to believe it. By the way, on the flip side of it, just because something is alleged to be a conspiracy doesn't mean that it's kooky. Conspiracy just means you got a couple of people or more that are all in on something together. Conspiracies happen all the time. In fact, there are laws, against certain types of conspiracies. People go to prison because they conspire to commit certain crimes. So while not everything that is labeled as a conspiracy theory actually is even a conspiracy theory, if something is an event that occurs because people conspired, that doesn't mean that it's unlikely to have happened at the same time. You have three people rob a liquor store together, and they planned it ahead of time. Yeah, that's a conspiracy. Going, well, I mean, your theory that they all did it, that's conspiracy theory, so therefore it's... No. Doesn't mean that it's unlikely. Parker Padgett with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Donald is here with the latest news update.
And good morning. A woman is dead and her boyfriend is in custody on suspicion of murder over in Lawrence County. The sheriff says the victim's body was found Monday afternoon at home north of Marionville along Highway 14. No names have been released. Despite fewer people showing up at the National Cemetery in Springfield, every grave got a flag again this year on Memorial Day. A wreath-laying ceremony was conducted as well. However, staff intentionally did not spread the word about that small event just to keep the crowd size low because of the dangers of COVID-19. And after a video of people partying and ignoring social distancing went around the internet and made national news at Lake of the Ozarks over the weekend, the sheriff of Camden County is speaking about the situation. The sheriff says the guidelines on social distancing would not be enforced by his department and that the partygoers were aware of the risks they took when they showed up. And that is the latest news.
I think one of my favorite highlights that show the refusal to recognize reality in this whole scenario is somebody from, I don't know if it's the county health department there, was now suggesting all of those people self-quarantine for 14 days. Dude, you are living in a total fantasy land if you think that the people who are involved in that obviously aren't worried about it. That they're going to all of a sudden self-quarantine themselves for 14 days. You need to wake up.
Well, and I don't know if this
is not going to happen.
I know. And I don't know if it was a different one, but the health director up in the St. Louis area, St. Louis County, also said, hey, if you're coming back here, we're looking at the Ozarks at that deal over the weekend,
that's
you need to self-quarantine.
That's going to happen.
Sure.
Right. The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Flood advisory west of Springfield until noon today. We got a 50% chance of showers. High today of 74. Cloudy, more showers, 62 tonight. Showers, afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow, 74. And a chance of showers, thunderstorms Thursday, high of 75. 67 and a cloudy. Outdoor fireplaces. Outdoor fireplace. Now, you may have a little fire pit, or you do the DIY, create your own fire pit, and that can look nice and everything, but is it elite? Is it a step above? Is that the absolute best you can do? It may be the best that you can do, but it certainly isn't the best that Elite Outdoor Innovations can do with full backyard or front yard as well. Landscaping, hardscaping, water features, outdoor kitchens. You can have, like I said, not just outdoor fire pits, but outdoor fireplaces. And this isn't simply a cut and paste. Well, we've got four different versions here. You get your very own customized creation. So imagine that, particularly nowadays, everything's so cookie cutter in houses. You know, you go into a lot of neighborhoods and virtually every house, you can tell like every fifth one is exactly the same. And it's done because it's easier. It's cheaper to do it that way. But to have an outdoor area that was customized specifically for you and your home, that's what Elite Outdoor Innovations can do. Find them at EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. All right, Joe Biden is planning on taking a new approach against Donald Trump, and that is the economy. And he is going to try to convince the American people that he is better suited to handle the economy than Donald Trump. Out of the gate, I'm going to tell you, his options are very limited here. Anyone who supports Joe Biden, you can ask him, what is it that he is going to do that you like? And I imagine the answer is going to be, well, anybody's better than Trump, or he's going to beat Trump. He's going to get Trump out of there. But they have no clue what he'll do. They don't know. They mean, well, he's going to make health care cheaper for, oh, like Obamacare? See, the problem with any vague belief about Joe Biden, healthcare cheaper, sort of the standard talking points that Democrats just believe will magically happen under a Democrat president. Joe Biden has already been there and done that, yet failed. Specifically talking about the economy. Democrats love to go on and on about the disparity, the wealth disparity, the difference. So in other words, Trump touts up until coronavirus how wonderful things have been regarding the economy and how much better things have gotten. What they do is claim, well, only for the rich. Rich get richer and the poor get poor. Well, the problem is, during the Obama administration, that is exactly what happened. The rich, the income gap, the wealth gap, it got larger. And that any sort of economic improvements that occurred were within the 1%. Middle class stayed pretty much the same, while the lower class dipped just a little bit during the Obama years. Under Trump, everyone started. It wasn't just one class of people. In fact, up until the government began shutting down parts of the private industry, the lower and middle class were the segments of the population that were seeing the biggest percentage increase in their incomes. The slowest growth was amongst the top 10% and the 1% in this country, economically speaking. So what occurred is what oftentimes occurs, and that is the claims that Democrats say, well, you have to elect us for this to happen, actually happened under Trump. And we all understand we've heard it to the point we all know it when it comes to the economic numbers in certain demographics that Democrats claim are their demographics that benefit most under them, women and minorities. Yet it was under the Trump administration during those first few years that those groups saw the biggest benefit, far better than anything that was done under Obama Biden. But what else does he have? I mean, what can he run on? I mean, think about it for a moment. If you are a Biden advisor, what are you going to tell him he needs to run on? I mean, you don't want to bring up foreign policy because you've got high-level folks, Gates in particular, from the Obama administration that has been on record saying that the one thing, Joe Biden's a nice guy, but when it comes to foreign policy, he has been wrong on every single position he's ever taken. Biden is the one guy in the room that said, no, we shouldn't go after bin Laden. The one guy. He wanted Iraq to become three different countries, wanted us as the United States to create new countries in the Middle East. Foreign policy isn't going to help him. So you've got domestic policy. You've got the economy. The economy is a big one. This is what they're thinking. They recognize that things right now, economically speaking, are not good. Of course, the reason for that is well beyond Trump. It adds nothing to do with the economic policies of Trump. It has to do with the government's reaction to coronavirus. So while that can easily be explained away, the Biden campaign looks at it as, well, what else are we going to do? We've got to convince people that it's Trump's mishandling of the coronavirus that led to the economy. So in fact, the economy is Trump's. This is Trump's economy. It's not the coronavirus economy. That it is because of Trump's decisions that the economy is where it is today. And so Trump cannot be trusted on the economy. So that's going to be their angle. It isn't a very good one, but it's all that Biden has. And with the help of the media, their campaign will be able to win over some people. But I've got to tell you, the person that is not necessarily hardcore Republican, not necessarily hardcore Democrat, they're going to see this for the BS that it is. And they are not going to be convinced that the reason we have 36.5 million unemployed, the reason that we have businesses that are shutting their doors, the reason that we have people that are watching their savings get diminished, isn't because of Trump's economic positions or the things that he's even pushed through when it comes to regulations or taxes. It's because of the government's handling of the coronavirus. Now, this is where Trump comes out winning. I say, how can that be? Because Trump is the president, right? I'll explain it to you here in just about 2 minutes after traffic and a couple of commercials we've got here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. The Biden campaign is evidently going to try to take on Trump when it comes to the economy. The position is going to be the reason that the economy is where it is because of Trump's economic policies. And the way that he's handled the coronavirus, they're going to conflate the two. And essentially, it's a gamble, but they don't really have a whole heck of a lot to say, oh, well, here's where Biden will be better than Trump. So it's a gamble. That's one I believe that they're going to lose if Trump plays it right. And Trump, I think, is going to play it right because Trump, I'm telling you, Trump, he, for whatever reason, instinctually knows what average people are thinking. He really does. I had this conversation with a fella I know, ran into him at the store. Hey, how have you been? Haven't seen for a while, you know, so forth. He said, what do you think about Trump with the churches? Trump comes out and he says that churches need to be allowed to reopen. I said, Trump knows exactly what he's doing. Trump, it's as if on the weekends, Trump is hanging out in, you know, Marionville, Missouri, or the middle of, you know, Arkansas, or just with normal people hearing what normal conversations are occurring. He just has this amazing ability to not be swayed by what the experts are claiming people are wanting to be done. So he recognizes that people are fed up with this stuff. He recognizes that people, you know what they blame the economic problem on? They don't blame it on Trump's tax policies. The average American doesn't say, well, it's because he gave tax cuts to the rich. They know that's not why. It's because of the reaction to the coronavirus. People who have not been able to go back to work. Greene County or Springfield, for example. Do you think they blame Trump for that? You think the swing voter, the independent voter think, oh, well, it's Trump's fault that I can't go back to my place of business? No, they recognize that it is either, Bob Dixon or Mayor McCheese or maybe Parson at one point. It's, you know, they don't see Trump as being responsible for these businesses being closed down because Trump isn't the one that closed them down. Now Trump is wisely out there being proactive on the side of open the businesses back up. These businesses need to be open if they want to open. And what is happening is you have the Democrats that are instinctively taking the other position. So this is Trump's approach, and it's one that I would take because it's accurate. That is a recognition that the economy is in a bad place right now. It is the understanding that most people recognize that the reason the economy is in a bad place right now is because businesses were forced to shut down. And so Trump is taking the position to open them back up. And he is publicly getting into battles with who? With the Democrats on this. He's laying a trap, if you will, for them to take a position to dig their heels in on the very thing that most people see responsible for the economy tanking. And that is not, look at how people are showing up in droves and protesting, particularly, it's brilliant, in Michigan, the state that has a governor that was at one point the highest hope as a VP pick for Biden. And this woman is being seen, being recognized by average Americans as someone who is just so consumed with authority and power, that she bans people from buying seeds. She spends a large portion of her time devoted to trying to destroy the life of a 77-year-old elderly man who simply wants to cut hair for a living. That's what they see. And Biden has got to be on that side. I mean, what is he going to do? I'm telling you, if I'm Donald Trump, I can't wait to see the two different conventions here. Trump's already telling North Carolina or South Carolina, listen, if we can't have our convention there, we may go somewhere else. It's not to punish them or anything, but Trump understands the importance of sending the message to the American people that we are trying to get back on track here and that we don't need to have everything shut down in order to continue to move forward. And in the meantime, Democrats are the party of fear. I mean, this is just how they're operating. The party of, we need bureaucrats to tell us what to do, how far to stay away from people, whether or not businesses should or shouldn't be open, and they're just waiting for their next command as to how to behave. The people that, and it is a very small snapshot of what's going on across this country. The Lake of the Ozarks, for example. Friends, if you think that is an isolated incident, you're out of your mind. Now, they want the media, they may think that it is, or they may just want you to believe that it is, but these gatherings are happening all over the country. They may not be on full display. People are tired of it, and Trump knows it. And he knows that that's what they see as tanking this economy. And so that's where the divide is going to be on this thing. And at the convention, I would have governors, these Republican governors from states that, like Florida, Georgia, in order to highlight the different approach. In order to, I would have business owners at the Republican National Convention in some of these states that were not forced to close down. And to talk about how that is what allowed them to continue to feed their family and to show people. You want to know what this caused the suffering? In their instinct to push back on all things Trump, the Democrats have come pretty close to completing the creation of their own noose. Trump is out there saying reopen. They're saying, my gosh, we can't. We're all going to die. We have to continue to keep things closed down. And as people are beginning to recognize that that's what's tanking the economy, and they're going to try to run on the economy, it is a gamble. I get it. What else are they going to do? But given the positions that they're taking, I think it's a losing one. There isn't a person out there who's lost their job due to this shutdown who think that it's the economic policies of Trump that have put them where they are. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Trump's positioning of himself as being on the side of reopening the economy isn't simply a position that is a broad economic position, but it's a demographic one as well. There is the latest unemployment figures in The Hill has a piece on this showing that women by a 10-point margin have seen the majority of the job losses as large parts of the economy have shut down. And I'm not sure what the breakdown is for minorities, but this could follow suit with the female numbers. So, again, you have Donald Trump out there saying we need to reopen the economy. You have Democrats saying, nope, we need to keep it shut down until we can safely reopen it. Meanwhile, Trump can point to the fact that their policies are hurting women most. You know, let the world know these numbers. Let the world know that shutting down the businesses, that taking over and deciding what people should or should not do regarding businesses and whether they should be allowed to have people in or not, that that has disproportionately hurt women, that the policies largely pushed by the left in this country are once again putting women in the back. And it is harming them to a greater degree. The Trump administration has been on the forefront of making recommendations. The Trump administration has not issued orders, though, like governors have and local municipalities have. And so while some could say, well, listen, I mean, your recommendations caused some of these businesses to shut down, he can simply and accurately say, listen, these were recommendations, but ultimately, a recommendation is just that. Any businesses that were forced to shut down that caused the disproportionate high loss of jobs for women in this country and perhaps minorities as well, that was done by a number of governors across this country. And of course, he's going to point specifically to the Cuomos and the Newsoms and some of these others. As there have been Republicans, we saw it right here in Missouri. I mean, Republicans that also shut down. Now, they have been much quicker to reopen than the Democrats have. And that, of course, is going to have to be the focus, that while Republicans took the more reasonable approach, that Democrats just, you know, kept things locked down and you know, refused to listen to reason. And the American people have really suffered for that. And for Joe Biden to try to somehow articulate an explanation as to how that isn't true will certainly be uncomfortable to watch, to say the least.